Let's go, let's go, let's go. It's your boy Drapes holding it down here on Sactown Sports 1140. It is the Drive Guys from 2 to 4:30. Got a very special guest, my guy, the high flyer Henry Turner, in for Whitey Gleason. First of all, man, welcome to the show. Happy to have you. Happy to have you in basketball knowledge and your sports knowledge. You ready?
Man, I tell you what. Woo-wee. I must have been doing something nice. I have reached the pinnacle. I'm on the midday, dog. You understand that?
Think about this, dude. This is our first time together, too.
For real.
This is our first time together.
For real.
And so when you were talking about the pinnacle and all that, I thought you were going to give me some love.
Much love.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying, bro, Drapes. Happy, you know.
Bro, I said the pinnacle. You can't get no higher. Hey, you could have came by and had some sweet potato pie. You on that list.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you on that list.
Let me check my phone, see if I got any texts from you about that.
Got through jet setting. I know where you are. Okay.
You know my schedule.
I was checking in when you was in New Orleans, player.
You right. You
know, I know about the Thanksgiving dinner you had in Minnesota. Did you bring me a turkey leg?
You didn't want that turkey leg, bro.
Oh, okay,
I'm going to let people in on a secret here.
It had no sauce on it.
Here's the thing. And you know this because you've been on the road before, man. It ain't home cooking.
As
thankful that I am that the team provided something. Mm-hmm. We're at the Four Seasons. It didn't have any season. It wasn't Big Mama's mac and cheese. You know what I mean?
You know what? Hey, nothing tastes like meatball sweet potato
pie,
bro.
Right, That's what I'm saying. So that's why I didn't bring you anything back, man. You didn't want it. Trust me. You didn't. Right. It was good. I ate it, but it wasn't Big Mama stuff.
Big worm, I'm going to give you a pass because you can't be over there playing with my emotions, man.
Big worm, dude. You're the first and only guy that's ever called me Big Worm, and I'm going to let you slide on that. I'm going to let you snide. All right, we got a good show coming up. Only 2.5 hours today. We're going to hear from you guys, 916-339-1140. Also on the YouTube chat, Sactown Sports 1140. Coming up at about 3:15, we got Jeff Howe of The Athletic to preview Niners, Eagles. I'm a big Eagles guy, though. I'm from Philly, born and raised.
Okay.
I'm a fly Eagles kind of dude.
I understand. You got to rep your set.
Exactly. So we ain't going to have no problems, right?
No. We ain't going to have no problems. But, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. I ride West Coast. I understand. You East Coast guy? You could do it. Boy, we're going to sound like Biggie and Pac up in here.
I know, right? We set it off. No East Coast, West Coast beef. That's not what we're about.
At all.
But let's dive into these Sacramento Kings. We're going to get into Draymond coming up next segment because I got to play the sound from Draymond. This dude, I don't know what he's on.
Hey, let me tell you something. Yeah, we're going to lay it at that because we got a whole segment to go with him. I got a lot to say about him.
Yeah, but what do you think about the Kings, man? 4-2 on this 6-game road trip.
Uh-huh.
Won the first three, then lost two in a row, and I was a little worried. They were a little shaky, but they had that huge win against Minnesota.
Hey, I'll tell you this. You know, we're still watching a basketball team, Drapes, that's, you know, still stepping into their own. Mm-hmm. The Kings are not, a full-fledged yet. Not at all. You know, there's still a team that's trying to get there. That's why Mike Brown is studying preaching the way he preaches. But for those guys to go out on the road and get three right off the bat,
yeah,
right out the gate, you took care of business. You know, of course, we'd like to get, you know, we want to get greedy. We want to get those two in New Orleans because you felt you could have. Okay, but you laid an egg again. All right, we laid an egg in Houston. We came back home. We played Herculean, and we righted the ship. Right? You go out on the road, you win your first three.
Mm-hmm.
Go into New Orleans, you lay another egg. But you get that one in Minnesota. That was to me, that game was a bigger game by itself than those two you lost in New Orleans.
Right.
So you got the one you were supposed to get. And in the overall scheme of things, because like we're going to take this just right in 6 games. Any team, a great team, will take. Coming off the road, 4-2.
100% right. And I say that Minnesota win, their best win of the season. Sure, they beat Dallas. They beat the Lakers. They beat Oklahoma City. But Minnesota was 7-0 at the crib.
At the house.
They were the best team in the Western Conference.
No doubt.
They were rocking and rolling. They were pretty much healthy. I know they didn't have McDaniels, but they had Edwards.
No.
They had Gobert.
You got your boys.
You got your horses, right?
You got your dogs.
And to go in, and this is what, you know, stood out to me, High Flyer, and I'm going to talk about this a little more coming up in Drape's Takes a little later. They came in right from the jump with the correct mindset.
Hey, how they say from the giddy up, bro. I felt it. But you know, losing those two games, Drape, made them come out that way. Mm. I could tell you, you know what? I could pretty much say this. If the Kings would have got those two games in New Orleans, do you think that was going to be the exact same team you saw on the floor in Minnesota? I bet you they would have came out lackluster.
No, you're probably right. But that's what you want to see from a team, though, right?
Bounce
you know,
back.
Because it's the NBA. They're going to lose games. It's going to be some clunkers.
Yep.
We know that. But where's that fight on the bounce back, you know? And that's the thing that concerned us in Houston. You lose at Houston, you get blown out the first time. All right, where's the bounce back?
Mm-hmm.
It took you a little bit. It took you to come back home against Portland and get it done. But the fact that on the road, Minnesota, day after Thanksgiving, and you know this too, last game of a road trip.
Yep.
Only thing you're really thinking about is getting back home, getting back to the crib, hey, and then to come out like they did.
Hey, but their mindset was, oh, no. And see, and that goes to show that the team is taking another step in the right direction. Because like you said, it's easy to say, yo, man, we've been out here for five. Let's just hurry up and get this sixth one over with. Let's go on home.
Right.
But a team that's trying to accomplish something better understands, hey, let's go out here and get this game, and then we go home. You know, it's a total different mindset, KD, when you have veterans on your team. Because I've been in that locker room to where I was a rookie, and we're on the same road trip. Same road trip, and the veterans say, hey, fellas, here's what we got going now. I'm going to go out here on real hard this first quarter, and I'm going to get us up 14.
They would really say that. Hey, literally say that.
Bruh, would literally say that.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
Man, Rodney McCray would stop by my locker room and be like, hey, Hank, first 10 minutes, I'm going hard. We're going to get up about 10, 12 points. I need you to hold down this second quarter for me because I don't plan on playing 40. Dude, those are the conversations you had straight out.
Yeah.
Get your mind right. You know, Danny Ainge would be like, because like I would bag up 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Ainge would be like, hey, Hank, I need you to go over there and take care of him. No problem. I got it. That's what we do. But see, you got to have veterans that set that tone. And I bet De'Aaron and Sabonis was like, fellas, I know y'all tired, but we got to have this one before we go home.
Because I was going to ask you that. Who's that guy on this team? Who do you think has that makeup, you know? Because that's one of the things, if I'm being real, I wish they had more of. More of that dog. More of that guys that said, you know what? We're going to go in here. We're going to kick their butt.
You know, how long have you hung around De'Aaron?
I'm going into my fourth season. It's my fourth season.
Okay. D has gotten more and more vocal every year.
Yeah.
He still isn't the Iman Shumpert. He still isn't the, Temple. He still isn't that guy yet.
Right. In terms of vocal.
Yes, as far as being that vocal, you know, you would think Harrison Barnes would be that guy. But Harrison is more like the mayor.
Yeah.
Everybody loves HB.
Right.
He always says the right thing.
He's going to say the right thing, yeah.
You need somebody in that locker room that's going to be the dog. Every good team has one. And, you know, you can say how much you hate them or whatever. You know, it's the guy you love to hate, but you can't win without him.
Mm.
You know, so somebody needs to be that vocal guy. But De'Aaron is getting more and more vocal each year. So he might be that guy.
And the thing about De'Aaron, to your point, he got some dog in him. He's a competitor.
Yes.
De'Aaron's is the type, when you poke him, when you wake up that bear, he's coming at your head. He's coming at your neck.
You know what? And I love him for that, but you have to have the Kobe Bryant mentality, the Michael Jordan mentality. You really didn't have to poke Kobe.
Right.
You know when you catch Nuck Nuckum and P.O. and him at the corner?
Yeah.
It's on
you know,
on
you
sight.
Know, yeah.
On
you
sight.
Walk it up, you know it's going to be some business.
It's on, yeah. You know, I kind of wish De'Aaron would have that mindset. And really, I want to say when they really need something, he's been that guy. Because, okay, we had fourth quarter Fox. I think this year we're seeing, in case of emergency, Fox, whenever you need me.
Right.
Because in a couple of those games early on in that road trip, KD, he came out from the gate. Number one, got the first tap, the steal to the basket, score. You know, that sets the tone, and he's been that guy.
You know what? And you're right, because to your point, the development I'm seeing from De'Aaron Fox, Last year, it was fourth quarter Fox.
Yes, he would wait.
He would wait.
He would wait.
And then turn it on. Now, like you said, he's realizing, all right, my guys ain't got it maybe from the jump. Let me turn it on. KD. And I think the next development is, to your point, like you said earlier, when McCray would come to you, De'Aaron eventually will come to his guys and be like, all right, let's come blitz him right from the jump. Yep. We're going to get up early
from
and
the
then
jump.
Cruise from there.
And y'all be ready. You know, seeing him do that right out the gate, KD, is what you call the game within the game. You know, he's thinking the game now. I mean, playing the game, that's in your right pocket. But when you think the game, that's what takes you to that next level.
Right.
To where, yeah, he looks and says, okay, they just went down to score two baskets. I got to break this momentum. Let me get to the basket and score. Because that's what you have to do. You know, whenever you watch the San Antonio Spurs, when they played back in their heyday,
yeah.
I'm talking Tim Duncan, Ginobili.
Yeah, those guys.
Whenever you score two buckets in a row on them, Pop, call timeout.
Mm.
Called time out. Because he knows in the NBA, two buckets turn into four buckets turn into six. Now you down 12.
Right.
You're going to score those two buckets, time out. We're going to break momentum. And I'm going to drop a play for us to get a quick bucket. That's how you never let the game get out of hand.
You seeing that from Mike Brown?
Oh, yeah.
He's quick with the timeouts,
yes,
too, right?
Dude.
Well, he's a Pop disciple, so.
Yeah, everybody that comes out of San Antonio knows that.
Right. Exactly. And so, all right, so they had a great road trip. We'll recap that coming up in a minute, but you know what's next. It's the game everybody's had circled. Everybody said, why did the NBA schedule the Golden State Warriors three times in the first 4 weeks? This is why, High Flyer. They knew that this in-season tournament game tomorrow was going to be off the hook, was going to be lit. Give me your early thoughts on tomorrow's matchup with Golden State.
I think it's going to be a nice one.
Okay.
You know what? I've been saying this since Game 7. You know, the Golden State Warriors have tons of swag. They have, you know, tons of bravado.
Yep.
I'm sorry. When you got four rings, bro.
You walk into the door like what?
Your chest is poked out.
Yeah.
They got tons of that. So, for the Kings, we're talking the Sacramento Kings. Kings used to be a laughing stock. For the Kings to come in and take them boys to seven, and let's keep it real, when the Kings walked into Chase Center 2-0, that let them know it's a new sheriff in town.
Mm.
All that what y'all used to think back in the day, all that's over with. You got a new dog you got to work with because they were down 2-0. Oh, Golden State never thought they were going to be down 2-0 to the Sacramento Kings. All right? And really, the Kings gave away that third game. They had them. So the Golden State Warriors are shaking a little bit, but now they understand.
Are they really shaking, High Flyer? Are they really
not? No.
When Steph doing the night-night and laughing in it.
Listen to me. After when they was 2-0, going home, and they barely won that third one, yeah, they were shaking. Because they was like, you know what? We didn't come in and just straight destroy these dudes. We barely got away with that game. So that fourth game, they had to come out.
Right.
They had to come out. So, yeah, they probably won't say it. They probably won't ever say it. I understand that. But everybody back in their mind was like, this team's for real, bro. We can't come out here BSing, bro. They're not going to lay down.
So now we're getting the best from Golden State. When they play the Kings, they know they got to bring it.
Okay, check this out. First game we played this year. Right?
Yep.
Matter of fact, let's go back to preseason.
Yeah.
Go back to preseason. Steve Kerr takes his guys out. Mike leaves his guys in. All of a sudden, Steph and the rest of those guys was like, wait a minute, hold on. They trying to win. They for real.
Yeah.
Right? Steve brings his boys back. Steph and De'Aaron go at it head to head. Golden State wins. First game. Same thing. Steph and De'Aaron go at it head to head. They win, all right? We go down to Golden State, right? Okay, no De'Aaron. What you get out of Steph? Yeah, okay, yeah.
Right, yeah.
You know why?
Because no De'Aaron.
No De'Aaron.
Mm.
See, they got this thing going now. Once again, I said it earlier. It's the passing of the torch. De'Aaron's like, hey, I'm coming. Steph's like, hey, I'm still here. So that I'm telling you, that's what the NBA is playing off of right there with this Battle of the Northern California thing, because it comes off big. It comes off big. So tomorrow night, I expect to see the exact same thing when both of those guys step on the floor.
On that note, we will preview tomorrow night's game. You'll hear from Draymond Green. This dude is still on one. He has not learned his lesson. We'll continue to talk Kings, Warriors, in-season tournament, everything up for grabs. Hit us up, 916-339-1140. You're listening to The Drive, guys, with Drapes and the High Flyer here on Sactown Sports.
A lot of fun. I think it'll be a lot like Game 7. You know, the atmosphere, just people, the excitement, the angst. I think the feeling that I'm expecting is that it'll feel like a Game 7. Can never be so certain until you get in the game and actually feel the environment, because some people, you know, you go into something thinking like, oh, it's going to be this thing, and like, people react to things differently. You never know how somebody's going to react to something. Like, some people get nervous and they get quiet. Some people get nervous and they start yelling. Like, you know, and so I think people react to things differently, and you can never be so certain. But what I expect it to be a very fun environment to play in.
That's Draymond Green getting ready to come into the Lions Den, known as Golden One Center, tomorrow. Kings, Warriors, in-season tournament advancement online. Let me just lay it out real quick for you, High Flyer. Kings win, they moving on to the knockout stage.
Right.
Now, if they lose, they would need to make sure Minnesota wins in their game against OKC. That would create a three-way tie, and then the Kings probably get in thanks to point differential. But you heard Draymond Green right there. As a competitor, is this the kind of games you get up for?
Oh, for sure.
Take me through it.
I mean,
when you know you're walking into the building, you're going to be the most hated dude on the planet in the building, because Draymond's going to be that. How you feeling?
Well, you know what, KD? First of all, you really have to understand Draymond's mindset. And he's the guy that's hated. He's the villain. He's more the villain than Dylan Brooks. He is NBA's number one bad boy. He is. But the thing about it is, KD, is that, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, the dude game hasn't changed since he came into the league, right? And he got four chips. He's got four chips.
Right.
Being Draymond Green. So if it isn't broke, why fix it? He's been very successful doing what he does. He's won championships. He's gotten big time contracts. Why am I going to jump ship in the middle of the race? This is what I do and what I do best. I've been successful at doing this.
High Flyer, with all due respect, because I value your basketball knowledge, that's played out. He's played out right now.
Hold on.
This isn't, you know what? You know what Draymond is?
I know what he is.
Let me tell you what Draymond Green is.
Tell me.
Draymond Green is that big, loud bully.
Yes.
But that's backed up by a bunch of killers.
Yep.
Without them, without Steph Curry, you know what he is?
Yep.
He's a loud mouth.
Hey, he's Suge Knight without Tupac,
exactly.
Snoop, and Dr. Dre. That's what he is. That's exactly
100% that's what he is.
Yes.
And what happened to Suge Knight?
Suge Knight's in jail
right now. Exactly. Suge Knight, we ain't heard from. Hey, and that's the thing
you
with
know
Draymond.
What? Yeah. When Draymond Green's game go down just a little bit and Steph and Clay ain't there, where's Draymond going to be? He going to be in China.
But
he going to be in China.
You're right about that. But here's the thing about Draymond. I could argue his game has gone down.
Yes, it has.
I could argue the Warriors' run is over. That's a different discussion.
I say last dance.
I could argue that. Exactly.
I say last dance.
Exactly. We can argue that. But here's the thing. And we're going to get to his comments about the Rudy Gobert chokehold in a minute, because he did address that. But if I'm Draymond, and I understand I got to be me, this is who I am, it's got me this far, I won multiple championships. But if you're not as loaded as you once were, that's like you said, like Suge Knight.
Right.
He lost Dr. Dre. Tupac dies. Snoop had the falling out. Snoop's not with him anymore.
Death Row don't mean nothing.
So you can't keep talking When you slipping and sliding like the Warriors are right now.
And let me tell you this. When the Golden State Warriors, that's why I keep calling this the last dance. If Golden State don't win this year, the Warriors ain't going to take that from Draymond Green no more. I guarantee it. The only reason that they're sticking behind Draymond with all his antics is because those four championships, it worked. They wouldn't have won without Draymond's antics.
They just re-signed him, though, High Flyer.
Let me tell
you. They just opened up the checkbooks. What are they doing? They chose Draymond over Jordan Poole. Chose Draymond over Kevin Durant. They never really admonished Draymond for the whole Kevin Durant fiasco.
That's why
he got a slap on the wrist for the Jordan Poole situation.
Yes.
They're letting this dude run wild.
Yes, and it's the last meal. It's the last meal. Because if they don't win this year, I'm telling you right now, Clay ready to bounce. You already said you don't have your boys no more. Well, check this out. Dre leaving, okay? Dre leaving, all right? You're going to have Steph there, and I'm telling you, they not going to keep going for your BS. When you start losing, I tell all great players, and you know what? Let's just throw it out there. Boogie Cousins, my man.
Your guy, yep.
I love Boogie Cousins. But I told Boogie when he was here, I said, what do you want to do? Do you want to be just another player that came by here that got big numbers? Or do you want to be one of the greatest that ever done it? And the only thing that would have changed him with that was his attitude.
Yeah.
When he was giving you 25 and 15, teams kind of rolled with it. Okay, all right. When it went down to 15 and 10, it was like, okay, Boogie, you better watch yourself. when it dropped down to like about 15 and 7, oh, no, Boogie, we can't deal with you, bro. You got to go.
Wow.
You got to go. But if he didn't have that attitude, because once again, you got to understand, bro, this is a business.
Yeah.
This is a business. And they're only going to take that for so long. When you're a champion, yes, your leash gets a little bit longer until what? Until you're not a champion anymore. And that's when they're going to say, well, you know what? We love you, but you're a liability. We got to let you go. Everybody talking about, oh, well, the NBA needs to do something. No, the NBA can't do nothing until the Golden State Warriors do something.
They've enabled Draymond, and he talked about the Rudy Gobert chokehold yesterday. Here's what he had to say, High Flyer. I want to get your reaction to this. This is Draymond yesterday talking about the Rudy Gobert chokehold.
I don't live my life with regrets. Like I said before, I'll come to a teammate's defense anytime that there's I'm in a position to come to a teammate's defense. That's what a team is. You stick together through the good and the bad. And I take that to heart. I take pride in being a good teammate. Now that's when I step in here every single day, that's number one on my list, to be a good teammate, number one. I think that takes care of a lot of things. So I take pride in that. And reflecting over on the whole incident, I think for me is, you kind of go through the whole gauntlet of everybody having an opinion. And you listen to those opinions or not. Some people opinion I hear, some people opinion I don't. I think for me and going through it is like what matters to me. And what matters to me is how the people that I care about feel. First and foremost, how are the people that I care about affected? How are the people that I care about, what do they have to deal with? I think that's it for me.
That's Draymond Green right there. And High Flyer, I heard those comments earlier. I'm driving in and I'm thinking to myself, this dude has not learned his lesson. He cost them a championship in 2016. And I understand Steph's your boy. Klay's your boy. They're not going to speak out on you. They're not going to speak bad about you. Shoot, the Warriors organization isn't going to speak bad about you. And like we said last segment, earlier before the soundbite, they've enabled him. But you know what Draymond is? When I was a player, when I was a kid, High Flyer, I had a bad temper. I used to get into fights all the time. I was like Draymond Green. But then as you get older, you get wiser. You can't continually say, I'm going to be me. Draymond at 20 can't be the same Draymond at 33. When is this guy going to learn a lesson? That's what I'm saying. What about maturity? To your point about Boogie Cousins, he never learned. The attitude never changed. It never got better.
Never got it.
And Draymond, he's been enabled not only by the organization, but he got Snoop Dogg. He got Tupac riding with him, so he feels like his way is the right way. When's he going to learn?
Let me tell you this. I gave Draymond kudos when he said he comes to his players' defense. I'm with that. I've been on the team to where, hey, these are my brothers. I will lay it down for my bros. Rightfully so. You know who I blame a lot of this on? And I've talked to a couple of other NBA cats.
Steve Kerr.
Old school guys. No. Old school guys who definitely agree with me. Okay. Clay and I forgot his name. Was the small four for Minnesota?
Wiggins?
No. Clay and the one Clay got into a tussle with that started it off.
Oh, McDaniels.
Yeah. Clay and McDaniels get into it. All right, cool. Draymond, you know, Rudy Gobert comes in. Okay, Draymond, you go grab him. You're protecting your guy, right? I'm fine with that. My problem is Karl Anthony Towns. He's choking your guy out.
So you mad at Towns?
I would have cleared Draymond Green.
Oh, high flyer, you killing me.
I would have cleared him out.
This ain't not 89.
No.
This ain't 95.
I understand that.
This 2023. You can't do that in the NBA.
You say, how is he going to learn? How is he going
to
learn?
Oh, so the players got to teach him how to do that.
How is, if your team don't teach you, the league don't teach you, you got my man Rudy Gobert and the LAPD chokehold choking him out, I would have cleared you out. You would have did an interview that night with an eye that looked like Mitch Green when Mike Tyson touched you.
Kings fans, I want to hear from you on this. How should we treat Draymond Green tomorrow? What do you make of Draymond Green's words, lack of regret, lack of remorse for choking out Rudy Gobert? I'm going to take your phone calls, 916-339-1140. You're listening to The Drive Guys with Drapes and High Flyer on Sactown Sports 1140. Back here on The Drive Guys with Drapes and the High Flyer himself, Henry Turner. I see your calls right now, 916-339-1140. You can also hit us up on the text chain. We'll get to calls coming up in a minute. But High Flyer, we're talking about Draymond Green.
Right.
It's going to be his first game back inside Golden 1 Center since Game 7 last year. To me, he's public enemy, number one.
I still have
not forgiven him for the stomp on Sabonis.
At all.
Right? I'm still waiting for a hard foul, you know, a slap across the arm. Something got to happen, right?
And you know what? And he's the first one to talk about, well, you know, I shouldn't be persecuted for some of the old stuff I did. Well, I tell you what. You get 5 DUIs and see how long you get to keep your driver's
license. That's exactly. He's like, I paid my dues already for 2016 and everything. But you're a repeat offender, Draymond Green.
Yeah. You're revoking your parole, cuz. That's what you do.
So let me ask you this. Tomorrow, we're going to be up in there in the building.
Yes.
It's going to be lit. How should Kings fans treat Draymond? Is it just boo during introductions every time he touches the ball? Like,
Katie, I can't tell them how to react.
I tell you, I can.
I can't tell
them how to
react. They
better not be soft and sweet on them.
Oh, they're not going to be that. I can guarantee you that. I mean, come on now. We have had some of the most in-tune fans this year, more so than prior years. Mm. Because I'm telling you, when Marvin Bagley walked back into G1, I was 50-50 on it.
Okay.
I understand, okay, you boo the guy because you felt like, you know, whatever he did in Sacramento was subpar. But after a while, you get back to the game. Our fans never did. Every time that dude touched the ball, they booed him.
Marvin Bagley.
Yes, they booed
him. And he
didn't
even do nothing, really.
All the way to the end. Right. So we're talking about the villain coming up in here. I bet our fans are going to go ham from the time he come out and warm up until that bus pulls off.
100% agree. And that's how it should be. obviously don't take it too far, don't go across the line or anything, but this dude needs to know this ain't no regular basketball game. This ain't no friendly crowd. And I better not see a whole lot of Warriors fans up in there. That bothers me more than anything.
Oh, now,
am I asking too much?
See, now you done went, you done went to a whole different level now, man, because see, you know, we watch the game,
yeah,
right? We see what happens in the game. We see how the fans react inside the arena.
Yeah.
Besides that, you park right next to me.
Yep.
We're downstairs.
Yep.
We get in our cars. We pull out. We on Highway 50 up to EDH.
We out of there.
After the game is when it really go down. That's when things get real.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to be a part of that.
That's
bro.
What I'm saying. So when they get out on the streets. So right. That's what I'm saying. I can't tell our fans right. How to act. It gets real in the streets,
right.
KD.
It is. And it's a true rivalry. I'm looking at the YouTube chat right now. CK916, have Doug suit up for one game and give him the Rick Fox special.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So, hey, you see how we glorify that? You see how Rick Fox was a bad boy.
Really?
Yeah.
Rick Fox was about that life?
Rick Fox was a dirty player. I don't know if he was about that life or not, but he was a dirty player. You know, we all knew that. So when he got out of pocket, and he got out of pocket far enough, how was Rick Fox going to learn? Hey, Doug, right? Uppercut, dude.
Uppercut. That's how he learned.
That's how he learned. And I tell you what, he might have did it to somebody else, but he wasn't going to run up on number 13 no more.
He learned. He learned that day. 916-339-1140. Hit us up. We're going to take your calls right now. Let's go to Ian on line two. Ian, you're on with Drapes and the High Flyer.
What's up, guys? Love the show.
Thank you, man.
So I was listening to Draymond in that press conference, and he was talking about how he's such a good teammate and he does everything for his teammates. Do we want to back up to when he punches teammate Pool in the face?
Mm.
Dude's a clown. I mean, everything that guy says is a defense mechanism. He's a child the way he acts. I mean, if you listen to that press conference, if he said the exact same thing what he said about Gobert as he would have about a pool, I mean, we'd be laughing right now.
No, you're right. You're right, Ian. Appreciate the call. What's your reaction, High Flyer? Because you know he sucker punched. It wasn't just a dust up.
Hey, let me tell you
he
this.
He took Poole out.
Let me tell you this. That changed a lot for me.
Right.
That changed a lot for me. I ain't going to lie to you. I lost the little respect that I did have for Draymond Green as being a competitor, as being a leader, as being a tone setter. You know, I like a lot of things he do out there on the floor. Even some of his antics. I'm old school. I played in the 80s, bro. Okay. I like a lot of things he do out there on the floor because I look at the opponent as the enemy. I do. And I look at that by almost any means necessary, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win this game. I'm with that. That's how I was brought up. That's in my DNA. But I tell you what, I would have never – ever, I don't care how bad it got, turn around and sock Mitch Richmond and I.
Mm.
My own teammate. No, you my brother. Now, we might grab and tussle and, you know, a little love. But come on, KD, you can't hit your brother like that.
That level of hate for your brother like that.
That level of hate shattered their locker room. That's the reason why they had to get rid of Poole, because it was going to never, ever, ever be the same. He can say he down for teammate all he want to. Bro, you just balled up your fist and socked your teammate in the face. And ain't no coming back from that.
Exactly. And it's a teammate you won a championship with, too.
There's no coming back from that, bro.
Let's get to Terrence on line three. Terrence, you're on with Drapes and High Flyer. What you got?
Hey, I love you guys' show.
Thank you guys.
Hit so many pressure points right there with that speech. I speak on Draymond Green and the respect level that I have for him. I'm from San Francisco originally, a Warriors fan. I live in Sac. I've been here 20 years, and I'm a Kings fan. I love the Kings. But I'm going to tell you like this. There are some players in this league that won't take what Draymond is giving out. They, you know, we can't point them out. They won't stand up. But there's some stand-up guys in this league that's not going to take that. And as far as Draymond, I think he should have had a longer suspension. That will make him learn a little bit, you know. That's where I go with that. And Jordan Poole in the locker room, as far as I'm concerned with that, those guys, they kill the chance to win it again with that right there. That's what I got to say about Draymond. And and another thing, he's a regular guy, and he's not that guy off the court. So I like to say that, too. If we can get that out to him and he can know that, you know, he might start acting a little bit different because he lost a big fan base when he went that route. That's what I got to say about Draymond.
All right, T. Appreciate the phone call, man. Good stuff as always. I want to ask you about a point Terrence made because you said it earlier. If your teammates or somebody in the league, that's the only way Draymond's going to learn, right? Like the players have to monitor this guy, I think.
You know, we talked about this earlier. You know, back when I played, there's no way Draymond going to grab Xavier McDaniels like that. There's no way he's going to run up and choke out Anthony Mason. Charles Oakley ran the league. It's no way you're going to do that. You know, so he gets away with it, bro. Because a lot of the players haven't checked him. Think about it. When have you ever seen somebody really dig into Draymond?
Right. The league don't have those guys as much anymore, though.
Soft as table butter. There's a few.
He ain't rolling up on Marcus Smart like that.
Right.
He ain't doing that to Marcus Smart.
Right.
Marcus Smart crazy.
Right.
He'll go right back at you.
I mean, it's some dudes in the league that, yeah, he ain't having that. You know, I mean, ain't going to roll up on Montrezl Harrell like that.
Trez is for real. You're right. Hey, High Flyers, stand by, man. We got more calls coming up in just a little bit. I want to continue this conversation. Sacramento Kings fans, Draymond Green is going to be in the building tomorrow. What kind of welcome should he receive? Hit us up, 916-339-1140. You're listening to Drapes and the High Flyer here on The Drive, guys. Sactown Sports, 1140. Hey, we might have to keep this playing right here, man. It's a Philly anthem right here. I got my drink in my two-step, my drink. You don't know nothing about that Cassidy right there. You don't know nothing about that Cassidy. My man Jay Johnson behind the boards playing all the tunes here on Sactown Sports 1140. Drapes and the High Flyer, Henry Turner here on The Drive, guys, as we continue to get you ready for the big game tomorrow between the Kings and the Warriors in-season tournament. Our first time seeing Draymond Green on the floor.
But hold on. Face. This one I want to know, though, dog.
What?
You used to be a bad boy?
Man, I had the worst temper
in
the world.
You used to be a bad boy.
Bro, you know what? And it still comes out every now and then.
I see that. You be aggressive. See, you wonder why I call you Big Worm.
But I'm nice, though, bro.
But you be treating me like I'm smoky.
I'm
quiet.
Did you think I'm selling ice cream to the kids rolling around or something like that?
But I be talking again.
I be talking again. Yeah, man, I was hooping at Lifetime in Folsom about a month ago. My son was hooping, too.
You got physical, dog?
Yeah. No, blows almost came, bro.
No.
Because you know who I'm like? I'm like Kevin Garnett on the court.
Oh, you mouthy, too.
I'm mouthy. I'm talking.
Okay.
I'm in your face.
Okay.
I'm checking it hard at you. I'm like, it's like game seven when you play with Drapes, right?
Hey, have you ever really, I know you haven't, but being on the court with Kevin Garnett, dog, is something different.
Something different, right?
You know,
you walk in the building or something,
bro.
Different
you hear him, man. As soon as he walk in, the only one that's worse than him is Gary Payton.
GP be talking like
that
too, huh?
Mercy.
From the jump,
from the gate. It's like, come on, man. You starting already? We ain't even laced our shoes up.
You know what? I gotta tell my Kevin Garnett story real quick. Hit us up 916-339-1140. Still talking Draymond Green in that big game tomorrow. First time I met KG, I'm hopping on the team plane. I'm nervous. I'm the sideline reporter. My first time being on the team plane. And I get on. And you know me, High Flyer. I'm cheerful most of the time. I'm in a good mood most of the time. So I'm excited. I'm happy.
Even when it rains,
I'm going to try to look on the bright side. I walk on. All I hear is this loud booming voice. Dang, they let any on this plane. I'm looking around like, dang, I'm the only one getting on this plane right now. He talking to me. And so I keep my head down, though, because you know how it is on the team plane.
Yeah.
That's their world.
Yes,
like,
it is.
And I'm just visiting in it.
And don't be in their seats.
Don't be in their seats. And I just sprinted straight to the back, man. I got KG stories all day to tell you. I know you got stories as well. Talking about Draymond Green, who says he does not regret what he did coming to Klay Thompson's defense.
He don't. He don't.
Are you cool with that, though?
Really don't.
Are you cool with that? Or should he be like, you know what?
Hold on, hold on. Let me put it out there.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm cool with him coming to Clay's defense, right? I'm not cool with, you know what? I'm even cool with him grabbing Rudy Gobert. I'm cool with it.
You cool with him trying to
No. I said grabbing Rudy Gobert.
Okay.
But he got Rudy Gobert in the L.A. chokehold, KD, and he's holding it. He held it for a while.
He took him to the free throw line.
Thank
almost,
you. They went from half court to the free throw line. See, this is a physical game, KD. Put it in context like this. I'm not going to get too upset if we're tussling and you hit me in the chest with an elbow. Okay. And That's part of the game. But you hit me in the chest. Now, if you turn around and hit me in the head with an elbow, now it's something totally different. Mm. See how it escalates?
Right.
Just that. Okay. It hit me in the chest. Same elbow to the chest. I might turn around and say, all right, bro, I got you. You know, but if you hit me in the head.
It's on.
On sight. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Him grabbing Rudy Gobert, I have no problem with that. You're coming to support your bro. But the way he did it and how long he held on to him, like I said, Carl Anthony Towns is standing on the side of him saying, hey, he turning blue, bro. He turning blue. Let him go, dog. Let him go. Carl Anthony Towns was supposed to clear
Draymond out. Let me ask
Draymond
you this, though.
Out.
Forget about that incident. He stomps on our guy Sabonis. We still ain't got him back for that. He got away with it.
Oh, he dirty for that one. He dirty for that one. Let me tell you. Now, this is just me.
Yeah.
If I was on the floor, and see, it's kind of tough because wasn't that in the playoffs?
That was playoffs. That was game two.
See, you can't, if you're a main contributor, and see, and it was different context. He stomped Sabonis and ran off. Okay. The thing with Minnesota is that play had been called, whistles have been called, everybody's in a scrummage, right? You can't come off the bench nowadays in the league. You just can't.
You can't, right.
You just can't. Okay, so let me take this back to when I played in 95. That's back when you could get off the bench.
Right.
Guys could get off
the
bench.
You were expected to get off the
bench. You was expected to get off the bench. If Draymond Green would have stomped my guy then, he wouldn't have made it to half court. He wouldn't have made it to half court because I understand, for one, I'm not a main guy. All right?
Yeah.
And instead of having Mitch jump up and sock him and be out for two games.
You would have handled that.
I could be out for two games, bro. I ain't got no problem with that. But right. He ain't going to get away with it.
He ain't going to do that to my guy.
No, at
right,
all.
Right. Exactly. Hey, I want to get to some phone calls here. 916-339-1140. Lambert, you're on with Drapes and High Flyer here on Sactown Sports 1140.
Now, give me 1 minute, 60 seconds.
All right,
you're
on the clock.
Oh, I know I'm timing myself. Now, I'm a Grant High School alumni, and we just won the championship this last Friday. And one thing we know about uniformity is that you do stick together inside that locker room and outside in your street clothes, everything. But one thing I learned that I haven't heard anybody say is Draymond, he's very crafty at what he does when he does it. For instance, if you look at game 7, go look at his stats in game 7. This is after everything that everybody just talked about. Look at his performance in game 7. And then I never hear people, especially Kings fans, talking about Sabonis' performance before he got stomped and after. You needed him to perform under pressure after that. He didn't kill him. He should have performed, and you guys would have beat the Warriors last year had Sabonis showed up. So that's all I have to say.
Appreciate the call, Lambert. And to his point, High Flyer, if somebody's stomping me out, best believe they're not going to win the game. Best believe they're not going to win the series. And so to Lambert's point, all right, Domas, you got stepped on. Now what you going to do about it?
No.
You got to raise your play, right?
I mean, that's a legitimate question because it can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
A dude can stomp you, all right? But the bigger question is, what are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do about it? We still haven't seen anything yet. That's what I'm saying. I'm not advocating anything dirty.
No.
But you got to send a message, right?
Some way,
Draymond
somehow.
Draymond trying to come down the lane.
Some way, somehow. Hard foul. I mean, like I said, the rules have changed since I played. I'm a dinosaur. The rules have changed, but we knew as teammates, if I had a guy all over me, and I'm talking about a guy that I couldn't do nothing with, I'm going to run over to OP and say, hey, OP, get this dude off me, man. He on me a little too hard. He said, all right, Hank, come out my side on a single
nice
double.
Nice screen, huh? OP would hit him?
Oh, it's going to be a serious screen. Okay. Come out of my side. I only got two fouls. Come out my side. I'm going to get him off you.
All right, we got much more with the High Flyer coming up. Still taking your calls. Don't forget at 3:15, our guy Jeff Howe of The Athletic to talk Niners, Eagles. Get you ready for that. You're listening to The Drive Guys here on Sactown Sports 1140.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.